just like to give a small 15-minute praise. I'm just kidding. When I found out that they had pulmonary fibrosis, 2016, it was 2 years to 5 years lifespan. That's what they said. Yesterday was 2 years since I had my lung transplant.
Hallelujah.
God is so good.
Hallelujah.
God is so good and so faithful. He really is. He's opened the doors to share with people, unsaved and saved, go to churches, different camps, and tell people about Christ by this. What a time it's been. I wouldn't trade it and go back again, but if I had to go back again, I'd rather have it with Jesus. Wouldn't have it no other way. Hallelujah, Father. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. And I can't take a soul that's sin sick, make it whiter than snow. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of man. But I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. When you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. And I can't walk upon the waters or calm that raging sea. But I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open or make old lungs to breathe again. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, my Redeemer of men. But I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. And if you think no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, Jesus, he is that man. Sing it with me. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of men. But I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. Yes, I know a man who can.
Hallelujah. Just so that we make it really clear, Jesus didn't just come for big sinners, drug addicts, alcoholics, the one that everybody in town knew were sinners. He came for sinners, period. And let me just share this little story. I think it illustrates the reality of what he's done for us. One of my best friends growing up was Mike Forth. And Mike Forth lived on Lockport Road. I lived on Townline Road. And how many of you know the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, right? Well, the long way to Mike's house was to go up Townline Road to the intersection of Lockport, take a left, and walk down to his house, crossing over another main road, and his house was on the right. But behind my house was a nine-hole golf course. And the shortest distance from Mike Hood's house to Mike Forrest was cutting across that golf course, all right? So, of course, you know what we did. We didn't take the long way. We took the shortcut. And along that path, there were too many obstacles for mischievous teenage boys to pass up. And one of those happened to be a creek that went down to the pond on the golf course. And I can remember one night as we were cutting across there, we came upon that creek. And Mike looked at me and said, "I bet you can't jump over that creek." And of course, teenage boys just can't stand a challenge coming and not taking it up. So I backed up and got my 5'9" body going as fast as I could, launched myself up into the air, only to fall about midway into that creek. And of course, my buddy Mike Forth was on the bank laughing hysterically. And I said, "Okay, smart aleck, now it's your turn." And he launched himself at a higher rate of speed and probably got higher off the ground than I did. But he landed about 2 feet short from the other side. And he looked at me and said, "Ha ha, I beat you." And I said, "Yeah, but dummy, you still got as dirty and muddy as I did." You see, it was one of those situations where close was not good enough. Both of us tried and both of us fell short. So my point for you is the scripture teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter if you missed it by inches, feet, or miles. Can you say amen? You still fell short. Amen. But the good news is the blood of Jesus Christ applies for you as well, no matter how far you went. We don't qualify sins. We don't believe that there's, minor sins, bigger sins, and so on. We believe that all sin separates us from God. And the blood of Christ takes care of all of our sins, big sins, little sins, in-between sins. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't have the assurance that if your life was cut short unexpectedly, that when you woke up, you would be in the presence of God in heaven, Jesus came so you could have that assurance. The Bible teaches us that eternal life is in the Son of God. He who has the Son of God has eternal life. And it was written in the scripture so that we could know for certain that our life was in his hands. When this life is over, we're stepping onto the golden shores in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen? So the blood of Christ is available to cleanse your sins as well. Well, that's not the message. That's just the extra. We're looking at the secret place, spiritual warfare, again today. Principle number 3. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the principle of submersion. Last week, we looked at submission. Submersion showed us the importance of self-controlled spiritual living if we're going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. And last week, we talked about submission. Actually, we did it for 2 weeks. establishing that if we plan to fight our adversary successfully, we had better surrender totally to God so that we can walk under his protection and live with his power. Today, we're going to look at another principle very closely connected to these. It's called identification. And in a minute, we're going to be in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, going down through verse 12. But follow along with me as we lead you up to that. In the Full Life Study Bible, which is one of the Bibles that I use in my office, it has this to say about this spiritual conflict we're in. The Christian faces a spiritual conflict with Satan and a host of evil spirits. These powers of darkness are the spiritual rulers of the world who energize the ungodly, oppose God's will, and frequently attack believers in this present age. They constitute a vast multitude and are organized into a highly systematized empire of evil with rank and order. When we keep that in mind, it becomes very clear to us that we need some help when we face that evil empire. Can you say amen? And what I want you to see today, this is an informational message, but also hopefully an inspirational one. When we realize the nature of the conflict that we are in, I believe it's important for us to know very clearly a couple of things. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to make this one of those eternal messages. And if you don't believe me, stay with us. Look at your clock now. And we will get you out of here timely. I believe when the bell goes off across the street for 12 o'clock hour, we will be on our way out. All right? You don't believe me? Okay. All right. I'll get going. So we're going to look at two things, our position that we fight from and our opposition, the one we fight against. Our position, we begin to see this in Ephesians 6, verse 10, where it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Matthew Henry, who is a Bible commentator from years gone by, has written some powerful truths. Concerning this verse, here's what he has to say. Is not our life a warfare? It is so, for we struggle with the common calamities of human life. Is not our religion much more a warfare? It is so, for we struggle with the opposition of powers of darkness. Spiritual strength and courage are necessary for our spiritual warfare. Can you say amen to that? We have no sufficient strength of our own. All of our sufficiency is of God. It is in his strength that we go forth and go on. Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. But who is this God that we're talking about? Well, let me introduce some names that he is known by in the Old Testament that ought to inspire you to keep moving forward in the battle. In Exodus chapter 17, verses 15 and 16, here's what it tells us about God. Moses built an altar and called it the Lord my banner. In the Hebrew, this would read the Lord Jehovah Nissi. He said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Moses understood that as he went forward to do God's work and follow the commands of God to drive the enemies of God out of the land of Canaan, that the Lord was the banner that he was marching under. Amen? You remember seeing the old Civil War pictures portrayed by Hollywood as they were marching forward, they always had a banner that identified who they were, that they marched under. And today, I want you to understand that the banner we move forward against the kingdom of darkness is the Lord. The Lord is our banner. Jehovah Nissi is the one we fight for and fight under. Hallelujah. When you go to Joshua chapter 5, a passage that we talked about previously in the last couple of weeks, in verses 13 through 15, here's how the story unfolds here. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," the man replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." In the Hebrew, that reads, "As Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander of all heaven's armies." Hallelujah. That is who we march forward under. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Our God is Jehovah Sabaoth, commander of heaven's hosts. Hallelujah. That's who we're fighting with and who's fighting for us. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, it gives us a really unusual name for the Lord. Here's what it says. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. As we march forward against spiritual opposition, and friends, maybe you don't understand that we are doing that, but when we go to the Brown House or other homes that house addicts, we are walking into enemy territory. Hello? We are engaging in spiritual warfare. We can't see it with our natural eyes, but we understand that it is taking place. And as we go forward with God, who the scriptures describe him as a mighty man of war. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that helps me a whole lot in my relationship with him. Because I understand that we are not being led into spiritual warfare by some wimpy, weak-kneed, wishy-washy commander-in-chief, but by a seasoned veteran of all kinds of conflicts. And I want you to know that our God is a mighty warrior who never ran from a fight and never lost one. Can you say amen? So we move forward with confidence that God is with us. And then as we go back to the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Hallelujah. The Mighty God is on our side. Hallelujah. Wow. I've been in a couple of places in my life where I was glad that I had someone bigger than myself on my side. When I was a senior in high school, I had just given my life to Christ, and I was hanging out with friends after a big football game, and two of the tough guys from the previous year's football team, Jerry Krantz and Richard Pierce, were calling the current players out one by one out behind the barn, and were kind of pushing them around and roughing them up a little bit. And I knew that they would be coming after me. And the person I was with says, "Don't you go out there when they come." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm going. I'm going out there. You can be sure. When they come and call my name, I'm walking out there." And I went walking out there, and they started their little thing. And before they got to lay a hand on me, they looked behind me. And behind me, unbeknownst, I didn't even know he was there, was one of my friends. He's a couple years older than me, 48-inch chest, 18-inch biceps. I used to hold 2x4s out like this, and with no training in martial arts whatsoever, he would get himself psyched up, and all of a sudden, one hand would come down, and that 2x4 would be broken in pieces. And all of a sudden, these two big tough guys saw Bob standing behind me, their countenance totally changed. And they started talking to him like their best long-lost friend. And he didn't buy it because he knew what they were up to. But that settled it between me and those guys, because now the sides were equal and probably not quite as equal as they thought it might be, because this guy probably could have handled both of them by himself. Got myself into a football game another time, and I made a tackle of one of the big tough guys in North Tonawanda, Tonawanda. And when I tackled him, I put a good tackle on him. It was only supposed to be touch football, but I just laid him out. I leveled him out. And when I jogged away back to the line of scrimmage, he came running up behind me and said, "Hood, I'm going to kill you." And all of a sudden, I heard a voice coming from behind me that said, "Woods, if you touch him, I will break your neck." And I looked, and this guy, Doug Blanchard, a star from Tonawanda, their star quarterback, he was big enough that I thought he could have been part of the pros. It looked like Joe Namath, big Fu Manchu. Mr. Woods looked at him with a snarl and walked away and never laid a hand on me. Hallelujah. Well, I was glad to know that I had somebody big on my side. And friends, today, as we go out and do ministry, we understand that mighty God is on our side. That means we can face any adversary, because we are not just fighting for him, we are fighting with him. He is on our side, and we march into battle confident that God, Jehovah God, the omnipotent God, the almighty God, is on our side. And because of that, we're confident that we can accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? But then as we understand who's with us, we've got to come to a clear understanding of who we are in God. So I want to take a little progression and show you something that's really significant for us to know. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the scripture says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them," the disciples, "saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's Jesus. He had this clear understanding as he ministered on this planet that all of heaven's power was given to him for his ministry here on earth. Then look at Luke 9, verse 1. "Then he," Jesus, "called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." The Greek word here for power is dunamis, and it means might or force. When it's spoken in reference to God, it's really talking about the might of God or the force of God. Jesus gave that force that was given to him to us. And then it goes on to say, he also gave us authority. The Greek word for authority is exousia, and it means the right to use or the freedom to act. So what he was telling us here, in my paraphrase, is simply this. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them the mighty power of God and the legal right to use it over all devils and to cure diseases. Hallelujah. Well, can I tell you something? In the Great Commission that Jesus gave just before he left this world, that power and authority that was given to the 12 was passed on to everyone who believed. And because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we have been invested with the might of God and the legal right to use it. Set on that for a while. Let that kind of simmer in your heart a little bit. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We are the blood-washed, the redeemed sons and daughters of God, the church of the living God, who have received an investment of power from God, the might of God, and we have the legal authority as we go forward to use that to accomplish the work of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have it. We're believers. We need to use what God's given to us by faith to accomplish the purposes of God and not our own purposes. So don't ever forget who we are. We're called. We're empowered. We are sent with everything that we need to get the job done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that a good thought? He doesn't send us out there unprepared. He sends us out there fully equipped, empowered with all the legal authority and rights that we need. So don't ever forget who our God is first and who we are in God. And that leads us down to an understanding of our opposition. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are not involved in a flesh and blood fight. It's not men and women that we are in conflict with, and we need to understand that. Now, sometimes they are positioning themselves with enemy forces, but our battle is not with them. Our battle is with the spirits that are energizing them and leading them forward. It's spiritual warfare. Amen? So our enemies are not people. But we've got to understand that we do have a personal adversary and enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, here's what it says. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil." Did you catch that? It's not just the pastor's adversary. It's not the pastor's wife's adversary. It's your adversary. All of us have a personal enemy. The devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I want to show you some things from this passage about our enemy. The word adversary that is given to us comes from the Greek word antidikos, and it was used in New Testament times for a lawyer who argued in a court of law. This gives us a picture of a prosecutor who brought offenders to court, argued against them, and when he was done, sent them off to prison. Okay? That's what our adversary is doing. And then it defines who this adversary is. The devil. The Greek word for devil is diabolos, and it means the slanderous false accuser. His argument that he uses as he tries to prosecute you and send you into his prison house is based on lies, slander, and partial truth. He's a liar. He's a slanderer. There may be a little bit of truth in it, but when you add a little bit of truth to a lie, you still have a lie. Amen? Listen to what his arguments might be used against you, and you may recognize some of these. "You're in this because of your own dumb mistakes. You are reaping what you have sown. You are simply paying for your past. Your kids are a mess because you failed as a parent. You're going bankrupt because you spent too much money on worthless things. You've destroyed all your friendships because you were not a faithful friend." Now, how many of you know in some of those things that I said, there's a little bit of truth? But the slanderer, the false accuser, is the one who's behind those statements. And I want you to see something next that comes along that changes the whole scene. 1 Peter 5, 9 says, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith." What he's telling us here is don't come into agreement with the argument the devil is using against you. Don't believe it. Don't repeat it. Don't view yourself based on his statement. Stand in faith. Remind yourself of what God says about you and what the Word of God says, and stand there in faith, resisting him. Hallelujah. And you can do that Because Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, the New Living Translation says, He, Jesus, canceled the record of charges against us. How did he do that? He took it away by nailing it to the cross. So you see, all the charges that God had against you and against me were effectively taken to the cross. And as he was nailed to that cross, all of those charges were nailed to that cross. And in doing so, they were no longer valid against us. Hallelujah. That's what it did. No validity to those charges whatsoever. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes, we do have an adversary, but the scripture tells us we also have an advocate. And it was in class this morning, Cal was sharing some of this. Listen to what it says. 1 John 2:1, New Living Translation. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But listen to this next part. But if anyone does, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. There's a couple of things in here you need to know. Advocate comes from the Greek word parakleton. It's the word that gives us paraclete for the Holy Spirit. And it literally referred to someone who testified in a person's favor in a court of law. Hallelujah. This is talking about the defense attorney, who when the prosecuting attorney gets up and gives his spiel, the next person who stands is the defense attorney, and he pleads our case. Well, I want you to see from this passage of Scripture, it's really clear that our defense attorney is the son of the judge. You know what? If this was happening in a real court and the prosecuting attorney knew this in advance, he might not even want to step out there and start the proceedings going. Because God, the judge, is listening to his son plead our case and advocate for us. And let me tell you how he does that. The charges that are leveled against us may be true, partially true or otherwise. We may have sinned. We may have blown it. We may have fallen flat on our face. But when the devil comes to accuse us, Jesus stands to his face and says, "Excuse me, Your Honor, but I want to remind you that I took care of all their sins on the cross. And they were all nailed to that tree, and they are no longer valid because they are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil can't argue the case anymore. So don't walk and live in agreement with him. Walk and live in agreement with the Word of God." Hallelujah. You're taken care of. Now every time God views you, he views you through the finished work of Christ that he did on your behalf. There's something else here I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. It mentions that he was the sacrifice. Some translations say atonement or propitiation for our sins. The Greek word that's used here is halasmos. And let me tell you what this means so that we can understand it. A payment has been made for our sins. So that God, who is justifiably angry with us because of our sins, sent Jesus to pay the price for those sins and make it possible for God to meet us without having to face his anger. Wow. Wow. Friends, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The devil will try to use condemnation to keep us down in the muck and mire of failure, but God doesn't view us that way. Amen. He views us through what Christ did for us. And I want you to get the understanding here so that it is so clear. We not only have the son of the judge for our defense attorney, it is the judge's son who paid the price for all of our sins. Hallelujah. So the fine, if it ever gets to it, he's already taken care of it. It's paid in full so that you and I can walk out in good standing with God, sons and daughters of God, living in fellowship with him. Hallelujah. The judge's son is our defense attorney. The judge's son paid the price for our sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's some more good news that comes in this context from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Bear with me as I read this, and the caboose is in sight. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. We're not downplaying the fact that he's a formidable adversary. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kinds of suffering that you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered for a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever and ever. So listen to what he's saying, is that when you stand in faith and he runs through his list of accusations against you, and the advocate, Jesus Christ, steps in between you and the adversary and pleads your case before God, and before God looks at him and says, get out of here, you dirty devil, you realize that same advocate was the one who paid the price for your sins. When you've stood in that, resisting the devil, it tells us what God's going to do. Now, how many of you know that there are times when we're in a conflict? And we come through the conflict victorious, but we're still a little bit shaken. I survived a couple of fights that I was glad I survived. And at least in one of them, I won, okay? But I was one for two, and when it was the other one, I took a beat. Ended up in the hospital. Okay? So after the conflict's over, even when you have successfully won the fight, how many of you know that you need a time of recovery? And what this scripture is telling us, when you've stood against the devil in faith, God is going to come and restore you back to your proper position. He's going to bring you back to your health. If you got a black eye, he's going to put an ice pack on your black eye. If you've got a bloody lip, he's going to wash that off and put balm on there to bring you to healing. And then the scripture says at the end of this that he is going to place you on a solid foundation. Hallelujah. That means that you're standing in the presence of God is rock solid and secure. So just because there's some fights you endure, your position doesn't change. You are rock solid in Jesus Christ. Keep standing in the faith. Don't listen to his lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. You can count on that. Everything he says to you is lie. So when he says that, stand firm in the faith. Devil, this is what the book says about what you just said. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. And that grace purchased a standing for me in the presence of God so that I am saved and I have access to the Father, and there's nothing you can say or do against me because Jesus is pleading my case, and this is going to be thrown out to my benefit. You are not going to win, so you might as well tuck your tail between those dirty little legs of you and get your head headed out of here in a hurry before I get upset. Hello? Spiritual warfare. We Well, I guess if it was a natural, you could say that we have a ringer on our side. His name is Jesus. Amen. God has tilted these spiritual conflicts in our favor. And as long as we stand on his side, we are going to come forth victorious. Now, to wrap this up, let me just show you a couple of things. You know, in the sports world, when the big game comes up, the sports announcers get together and they make their predictions. And they make their predictions based on what they've observed on the offensive abilities of the team, the defensive, the special teams, and they come to some conclusions and they make predictions. Well, let me tell you from my advantage in the scripture, here is how we stack up against our enemy. Strike force capability. Satan is not omnipotent. God is. Advantage, God's forces. Intelligence capability. Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. God does. Advantage, God's forces. Mobilization capacity. Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. God is omnipresent. Advantage, God's forces. Conquest capability. Satan is a vanquished foe. The final buzzer has not sounded yet, but it will, and he's a loser. God is a victorious leader. Hallelujah. Advantage, God's forces. Satan is destined for doom. God is destined for domination. Advantage, God's forces. Satan's troops are numerous. God's troops are innumerable. Hallelujah. Advantage, God's forces. Satan's troops have won some battles, but they're going to lose the war. And God's troops have lost some skirmishes, but ultimately are going to win the war. Advantage, God's forces. What's my prediction? Final score will be God and his forces, 7. Satan and his forces, a big fat 0. Hallelujah. It's tipped and loaded in our favor. As long as we understand that we don't fight this in our natural power, we in the natural are not ready to stand before the devil. But we, equipped spiritually, the devil is not able to stand against us. So get into the book and remember who you are. And when he comes knocking on your door with some bad news for you, bring out the word of God and put him to flight and remind him that he's a loser and he's losing in this one as well. Hallelujah. Would you stand together with me? Doesn't matter what your conflict is. If God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Amen. Who's going to dare bring an accusation against the righteous? It's not going to stand because Jesus has paid the price for us. He's standing for us. And then the scripture says if God not only sent Jesus Christ for us, will he not also with him freely give us everything we need? So the supply line coming to the saints has all of the provision we need to stand together. And listen, if the battle gets really severe and you're kind of staggered a little bit from the blows you're taking, find a brother or sister in Christ and ask them to come alongside with you and stand there back to back, amen? Because back to back, you can put more devils to flight. And if that doesn't work, call a third party in there, amen? Because then it doesn't matter what's going on. There's multiplication working to your advantage. One can put 1,000 devils to flight. 2 can put 10,000 to flight. Can you imagine what 3 can do? Hallelujah. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we're winners. All we need to do is stay in the conflict and stay in faith. Hallelujah. We're never going to lose. We're never going to lose. There's millions that went on before us who could share the same testimony that by faith we conquered kingdoms. By faith, we shut the mouths of lions. By faith, we defeated enemy armies that were way bigger and smarter and stronger than we were? By faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. So stand in faith. Don't give up. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that this word I've shared today would find a lodging place in the hearts and minds of your people, that as they face conflicts, and we know conflicts are inevitable, that the word of God would come to the surface and they would stand firm on the word of God, because your word never fails. Everything it says is true, and everything you promise will come to pass. When you said you'd be with us, we can guarantee that that's going to happen. When you said there's victory for us through faith, we believe that, Lord Jesus. And I pray for those today who are here that are going through one of those conflicts. And it's a severe battle for them. And they've been a little bit shaken. And they may even feel like they got beat up a little bit in this. I pray specifically for them that the Spirit of God would quicken this word to them. And that by faith in Jesus Christ, they would rise up strong in the Lord. That they would feel the Holy Ghost welling up on the inside. Hallelujah. And faith causing them to expand. And as they expand in faith, the devil looks smaller and smaller all the time. Keep your hand upon them. We agree with them for victory and the ability to stand in faith and put those devils to flight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Take time. Yes.